Part 1. The only thing I like about rich people is their money. Nancy Astor, Viscountess Astor. Chapter 1. Davos, Switzerland. Edison Ching stared up at the soaring honeycomb-structured ceiling in the vast white auditorium, feeling on top of the world. I'm here. I'm finally here. After years of Olympic-level networking, Eddie had at long last made it. He had been invited to attend the annual meeting of the World Economic Forum in Davos. Strictly by invitation only. Footnote. And if you happen to get invited, just know you're still obliged to pay the $20,000 attendance fee unless you're one of the people listed in the next footnote. Beautiful people never have to pay for anything. This prestigious event was the most elite schmoozefest on the planet. Every January, the world's most important heads of state, politicians, philanthropists, CEOs, tech leaders, thought leaders, social activists, social entrepreneurs, and of course, movie stars. Leo, Brad, Angelina, and Bono have all attended. Would descend upon this secluded ski resort high in the Swiss Alps in their private jets, check into their luxurious hotels, put on their $5,000 ski jackets and ski boots, and engage in meaningful dialogues about such urgent issues as global warming and rising inequality. And now Eddie was part of this ultra-exclusive club. As the recently appointed senior executive vice chairman of Private Banking Global for the Lichtenberg Group, he now found himself standing in the middle of the futuristic auditorium at the Congress Center, breathing in the rarefied air and catching slivers of his own reflection in the thin chrome leg of an auditorium chair. He was wearing his new bespoke Sartoria Repens suit, which had been outfitted with an inner lining of 10-ply cashmere so that he never had to wear a ski jacket over it. His new Corthay squirrel suede chukkas had special rubber soles, so he would never slip on the slick alpine streets. On his wrist was his newest horological acquisition, a rose gold, a Lange Ansorna Richard Lange Pour le Mérite, peeking out the precise amount from his sleeve cuff so other watcherfowls would see what he was wearing. But most important of all was what he wore over this sartorial splendor, a black lanyard at the end of which was attached a white plastic badge with his name printed in the middle, Edison Ching. Eddie fondled the slick plastic badge as if it were a jewel-encrusted amulet, personally bestowed on him by the god of Davos. This badge distinguished him from all the peons at the conference. He wasn't some PR hack, journalist, or one of the common attendees. This white plastic badge with the blue line at the bottom meant that he was an official delegate. Eddie glanced around the room at all the clusters of people in hushed conversations, trying to see which dictator, despot, or director he could recognize and connect with. Out of the corner of his eye, he spotted a tall Chinese man wearing a bright orange ski parka, peeking in through the auditorium side door, seemingly a little lost. Wait a minute. I know that guy. Isn't that Charlie Wu?
Oi! Charlie!
Eddie yelled a little too loudly as he rushed over toward Charlie. Wait till he sees my official delegate badge. Charlie beamed at him in recognition.
Eddie Ching! Did you just get in from Hong Kong?
I came from Milan, actually. I was at the men's fall fashion shows, front row seat at Etro.
Wow, I guess being one of Hong Kong Tattle's best-dressed men is serious work, isn't it? Charlie quipped.
Actually, I made it into the Best Dress Hall of Fame last year, Eddie replied earnestly.
He gave Charlie a quick once-over, noticing that he was wearing khaki pants with cargo pockets and a navy blue pullover under his bright orange parka.
What a pity. He used to be so fashionable when he was younger, and now he's dressed like every other tech geek nobody.
Where's your badge, Charlie?
Eddie asked, flashing his own proudly.
Oh, yes.